It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In the first epistle of John, chapter 1, I'd like to read a few verses there, starting with verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Well, the Word of God is written to the saved person, so that saved person can have the joy of God within the heart. It lifts the person up, and the Word of God became manifest. Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. That's the reason we have the Bible, and that's the reason we study about the life of Christ. It is so important for us to understand Jesus Christ. If we remember in our first study, we saw how that Christ was baptized of John. Now, Christ wasn't baptized because he was evil, because he was sinful, because he needed to be baptized for repentance of sins. We saw how that Christ was baptized in order for his ministry to begin. In other words, he was sanctioned by God the Father at that time, and their voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." As we see the Holy Spirit as a dove descend upon him, we see that he was anointed, or we might even use the term, he was ordained in the sight of man. And as that, the result of that, he would then go forth and proclaim the gospel. In other words, he would place himself first. He would go before, and he would bring honor and glory to the Father, that he was presenting himself as the Messiah. And then we saw how that he was tempted. He was led up to the devil, or led up of the Holy Spirit, and he was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights, and how that he withstood the devil. And I made a comment on our last study how that the devil is really stupid. You say, well, how can you make a statement like that? Well, the devil's stupid because he was trying to match wits with the one who had written the Word of God. The devil was trying to quote the Scriptures to Christ, the one who had written the Scriptures, who knew what the Scriptures said, and yet the devil tried to use them against our Lord. But once again, at the end, the devil could say nothing. He just left the Savior. He could not, the Savior could not be tempted with evil. You want to read in connection with that, in conjunction with it, James chapter 1 and verse 13 about nothing evil can tempt God. Well, today we want to look at our third study in the life of Christ, the choosing of the 12. First of all, I want you to notice something, that Christ was a man of prayer. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Our Savior is a man. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Jesus was a man. Jesus was a man of prayer. He prayed to the Father. He sought the Father's face. He asked God for wisdom. He chose to do what the Father wanted him to do. Romans 5:15 says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Jesus Christ was a man. Jesus Christ is a mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And notice this, our Savior is not only a man, our Savior is God. First, he's God. He was God before he was man. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ was God before he became man. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." full of grace and truth. Our Lord prayed to the Father throughout His life. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." What a great example our Lord was and is to us. As we seek God's face, we need to go to our prayer closet early in the morning. We need to go to God in prayer, and we need to seek His face and ask Him for His guidance throughout the day. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed." Luke 9:29, "And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering." And when you go to the Lord in prayer in your prayer closet and you seek His face, I'm not saying that your raiment is going to be white and glistering, but I'll have you know that you'll come out of that place and you'll feel the power of God upon you. You'll know that what you've done is good. You'll know that God is there and He's going to lead you throughout the day and help you make right decisions. Well, there's many other scriptures that show us that throughout His life, Christ was a man of prayer. Well, what about the 12? We see that Christ prepared Himself to choose. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, there's instruction for choosing. "And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Our Savior was a prayer. Jesus prayed for guidance from the Father. What an important decision to make. Jesus must choose from a multitude of followers, and only 12 would be chosen. Jesus had to decide. God the Father must be communed with in order to know of a certainty which men would be the chosen 12. God's choice must be determined. Well, after praying, a decision was reached by Jesus, according to Luke 6 and verse 13. "And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles." And these men alone would belong to a select group known as the 12, according to Mark 6 and verse 7. In chapter 10 and verse 32. "And these men were named apostles by Jesus Christ." Matthew chapter 10 verses 1 and 2. Jesus not only prayed for these men, the apostles, but He would also pray for all who receive Him as Savior, according to John chapter 17 and verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone," Jesus said, "but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." He's praying to the Father here just before His crucifixion. But Jesus prayed. Now, it's something to have a person to pray for you, but it's another thing to have the Son of God pray for you. And if you're saved today, He's prayed for you. He's prayed to the Father that the Father would take care of you. And we need to trust in our Lord. We need to trust in God to take care of us. Well, I want you to notice something about these men, these 12. These men would be sent on an important mission to the nation Israel, according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. These men who would be the first to observe the Lord's table, according to Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. You remember that night He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them. He said, "Drink all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And what a privilege it is for us today to be able to observe the Lord's table. The bread is not His flesh, it's a representation. The juice is not His blood, it's a representation. We are to do that in remembrance of Him until He comes again. We're to do that to remember His death on the cross of Calvary. Now, these men, with the exception of Judas, were among the first to see the resurrected Savior, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 5. And you can also look up John 20, verses 19 through 29 in reference to that. These men would receive important commandments from the risen Lord. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "Until the day in which He was taken up, and after that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen." Well, there's many other things we could look at concerning these men He chose. And one of the important, and all of it's important, but these men would be used of God to indoctrinate the early church. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 42 says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The apostles' doctrine, the teachings of the apostles who had been taught by our Lord. These men will someday judge the 12 tribes of Israel, Matthew 19:28. These men will be forever memorialized on the 12 foundations for the wall of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21:14. Well, we see that Jesus chose. He prayed and he asked God for guidance. Our Lord chose 12 men. He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," John 15:16. Well, who were these men, these chosen ones? Were they men of great fame? Were they men of great power and position? Were they the brilliant intellectual giants of their day? Were they among the wise and the powerful and the rich? Who were they? Well, we know that many of them were fishermen. And the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 13, tells us what men thought about them. Regular men said that, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." Men will look upon people of God today and say, "Well, these people are unlearned and they're ignorant." But notice what the Bible goes on to say in verse 13 of chapter 4. "They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." You won't be with Jesus. First, you have to ask him into your heart. Then, after you've asked him into your heart, you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. You need to get into the Scriptures. And when you get into the Scriptures and you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, then people can look upon you and they will take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus. It's through his word, through prayer, that we draw nigh unto the Lord and we learn and we draw closer and people will know that we've been with our Savior. Well, the Lord wants to teach us three important lessons from the life of the traitor Judas. First of all, Jesus made no mistake when he chose Judas. He knew from the beginning who was going to betray him. And he didn't make a mistake. John 6:64 says, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." Well, the Lord wants us to see three important lessons from the traitor's life. First, it is possible to go through all of the outward motions and yet not be saved. Secondly, it is possible to fool everyone but God. And third, it is possible to be very close to the Lord, yet end up lost forever. Are you playing church? Are you playing religion? Have you really trusted the Lord as your Savior? Are you just playing a game? You say, "Well, I go to church every week." Judas was with the Lord. Judas walked with the Lord. But yet Judas was lost. He died, and I have no doubt he's in the devil's hell today because he was simply playing. He was not serious. He did not choose to receive Jesus as his Savior, to recognize him. Have you done that? Ask Jesus into your heart today. Receive him as your Savior. Be willing to turn from your sin. Forsake it. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior." That prayer won't save you, but your heart. If your heart's right with God and you say, "Lord, come into my heart. I mean this. Save me today." Jesus will save you. If you are saved today, thank God that he gave us, he chose these men to help us to understand through the Scriptures what we needed to do to be saved, and we are saved. And we look to God today through prayer to give us strength and guidance. Lord, lift me up.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.